your health with Dr. Burns.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Burns, and thank you for tuning in to the show today. I have with me co-host Robert Chaloup.
Hi, nice to meet all of you.
So we are actually going to be teaming up today and actually talking a little bit about respect, not only respecting yourself, but how to respect other people and the differences between men and women and what exactly their definition of respect is. So I'm just actually going to start off with a little personal story about myself and how I actually came about doing this is about 3 years ago, I just started noticing that things just weren't going right. And, I was clashing with my daughter and with everyone else. And I was just kind of wondering, if it was everyone else but me. And then I found out, no, it was me. So, which lead me to, explore and find out what exactly it is that I was missing and why everyone was getting so upset with me. And apparently some of that was actually learning respect for self. And as I was going through, I remember, it's like as a kid, I don't think I was ever taught or ever given the tools on what to look for as far as respect goes and how to respect myself and what to look for, in other people who respect themselves from those that don't and how, personalities with people and how they actually interact with others are the key factors in finding people that you want as friends and people that you don't want as friends. So how about you, Robert?
I noticed that growing up, I didn't really have too many friends as far as people that'd be in my life on an active basis, at my house all the time or anything like that. And, once I got to about the high school age, I started getting more friends, but I've noticed that it was coming in a steady flow of my successes. And, that's when I noticed it was a bad thing that you have people who bandwagon and attach themselves to your successes and consider themselves friends for that reason. So that would be, my experience with that.
So, and with those experiences, I kept thinking back and I'm just like, I need to get angry at my parents because they didn't teach me the stuff that I'm actually teaching my daughter right now. It's like, of course they say hindsight's 20/20, but I'm telling you, it's like back in my parents' day, I don't think they were ever taught the signs and what to look for either. So I can't blame my parents because they try their best for kids. but they know better now. And this is something that I think that has just recently within the last few years has actually come to fruition on what exactly to look for. Body language has definitely become a lot more popular these days. You can actually look online and classes for $55 each on body language. So you don't have to be a linguist. You don't have to, work for the FBI or the CIA to know body language the way that they do because they actually have people teaching those classes these days. And so this is, something that we want to, delve into here in the next hour is basically looking at some of these things and what exactly to do. And I'm probably going to embarrass myself totally today on some things that I did that I shouldn't have done. But, hey, it's radio, right? So at least no one can see me. So the one thing that I want to start out with pulling out is high school seems to be, the worst time ever to try and discover yourself. It is just the worst. I remember going in, and I had an older sister who was in the same high school that I was. So, of course, I'm wanting to follow her around, do what she does. Thinking if I did everything that she knew how to do, I thought she was the cool girl in school and stuff like that. So I went into the same sports with her. Little did I realize that that was not the way to go because I was trying to change myself and conform myself into being someone who I wasn't. And so I thought that I would be happy if I became exactly like my sister. How about you, Robert?
High school was a difficult time. Just in the sense that going from elementary school to like a high school situation, it really differs, and especially with the age and generation gaps that are going on, there's a lot more politics that get played, and there's a lot more in terms of like communication that goes out there. You know, cell phones were the big thing as soon as I got, you know, to the high school age, so everyone was communicating through text message on a regular basis too. So that was always a trend of gossip and topics of conversation.
Holy cow. Yeah, no, I didn't grow up in that era where we had cell phones. No, we actually had to talk to people. but I mean, still, even with that, even with technology today, people are still hiding behind it and not really knowing how to talk one-on-one. I was actually, a friend of mine actually told me that she had a 10-year-old boy over at her house, and they were sitting probably as far away as we are, and he texted her and asked if she could pass the salt. So sometimes technology is good and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it has to be dropped. But the thing is with this, though, is that, you know, I mean, it's like, because there is, you know, like such big, you know, like groups or cliques that end up coming up, especially in high school, especially when you're trying to find yourself. And, you know, with anyone, it's like as soon as they almost get to that 18 age, I mean, the rebellion starts, like, with their parents and wanting the respect that they think that they deserve and stuff like that, you know, ends up coming out. And, you know, so I remember giving my parents grief, you know, like when it's like as soon as I got the car, man, woo, freedom! So, and then you kind of find out in your 20s it actually wasn't as bad as you thought it was.
I couldn't agree more.
So, but some of the things, though, that you want to look for, especially going into social situations, is you want to pick people that are kind of like have the same ideal that you do. So, and that actually, you know, like want to respect you, respect, you know, like your boundaries and all this other stuff. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's good to have like-minded individuals around, but just in my personal experience, it's also nice to have a different perspective, so people that may see things differently is also a good thing. You know, when it comes to the conversations of, like, religion and politics and whatnot, you know, that can be touchy for some people, but to me, I'm a conversationalist, so, you know, getting someone else's opinion or perspective on things is always a breath of fresh air and an eye-opener for me as well.
That's awesome. So now what the thing is, though, is that with this is that a lot of times when people try to join like a popular group, and then they say that you have to change the way that you are, like your clothes, your hair, whatever that may be, in order to fit into a certain group. Do you feel like then that people are actually gaining power or giving their power away trying to fit into a group that necessarily doesn't want them?
I'd say it's giving their power away, if anything. Having to change who you are or who you feel you can be to be fitting in or with a group of other people that, you know, you may see as the popular group isn't, you know, always the best idea. It just shows that you're submissive to, you know, whatever their demands are. You're willing to, you know, reach that status in society at any cost, which isn't really a good thing.
So do you feel that with these groups that it's okay that if someone were to get in one of those groups or even try to get in with, you know, like a group, popular group, that if they start putting you down, is that okay to have someone put you down in order for you to belong into a group?
No. I mean, as long as the only situation I can see that working out in is if it's in jest or in, you know, good nature, like, you know, everyone just kind of rips on each other at that age in high school. But if it's, you know, with any kind of sincerity or any kind of truth behind it, then definitely not. You know, it's being considerate of other people's feelings is, you know, definitely one of the foundations of friendship.
Yes. And so if you're trying to get into a group and the group keeps calling you, like, stupid, idiot, you're not doing things right, they keep picking on you about, like, your clothes, your hair, whatever it is that you're doing, and then they're like all snotty about it, or they're very condescending. Those are the type of people that you don't want to be around. You actually want to be around people who are going to, you know, accept you for who you are, or they're doing, you know, like for uplifting, or they're who will support you no matter what. those are the type of groups that you actually want to get into. You know, the ones that are, you know, saying that you can't do something unless you do like X, Y, or Z in order for you to get in probably aren't the type of things for anyone to be getting into. So, I mean, and it's okay to actually say no to someone like that, because the only thing that's going to hurt is your pride, and that's it. You know, you may feel a little embarrassed for a couple of days, but in the long run, it's so much worth it, and you won't have the heartache and the frustration going through this as I did, you know, when going in high school, you know, as I was trying to follow my sister around.
Yeah, and especially when you kind of just fall off your own trail and follow the trail of others, you know, whether it be for social status, popularity, anything like that, you also fall off track of what your own personal goals and commitments are too. So you may, you know, lose a sense of morality or self-value in that, or, you know, even deter yourself from where you could be going. You know, if you always had ambitions of becoming a doctor like yourself, and you follow more of the social crowd than you do what your own adventures in life are going to be, then, you know, you put yourself behind.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like with anyone, they end up putting themselves behind if they're not being true to themselves. So my definition of being true to yourself is to listen to your heart and to always remember what makes you happy and to follow that. What do you think from a male perspective is being true to your heart or true to yourself?
Just making sure that if you know, think back on a situation of how you would handle something presently to how you would have handled something, you know, about even, you know, a year prior to where you're at, or even 5 years prior to where you're at, you know, that's always a good reality check. You know, it's something that I always try and do when I'm put in difficult situations, is just think, you know, is this how I would have handled things? You know, I may not have been in a better place at that point in time, or I may be more level-headed now, but just always trying to keep yourself in perspective of where you were to where you are now.
That's good, but the one thing is the difference between, you know, like men and women, especially like in high school, is we as women are so emotional. When one aspect of our life is affected, everything's affected. When it comes to men, you guys can compartmentalize. So if a group doesn't want you, you're just like, so whereas women, oh my gosh, the world has ended. Everything has just like come to a dead halt, you know? I mean, and then we keep going and it's like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, and that was something that, you know, happened a lot in my teenage years too, was that I had a friend, her name's Brittany, and she was, you know, constantly on the hunt for popularity or attention from the popular boys or the athletic ones. And, you know, it was a matter of her getting that at any cost. You know, there was, you know, stories I could tell where she just wasn't doing things that were necessarily in character for herself. And, you know, it was a shame to see it happen, but eventually she picked herself up and got back on the right path.
That's good. So then do you feel like it's part of the norm to actually, like, lose yourself because you are trying to find yourself?
Yeah, it's all part of the journey of figuring things out. You can't say that you're lost if you've never been there, you know?
That's definitely true. I mean, it's like for us, our lockers were outdoors, so we had, like, the nurse hall, we had the doc hall, we had, you know, like the smoker hall, you know, everyone went out and smoked over there, and that was before the hole, you know, like 25 feet from the thing, and, you know, before it became stricter. You know, I mean, so it's like, so everyone kind of grouped themselves, even by the hallway that they were in, on what their social status was, you know, like at that time. And which I thought was kind of funny, you know, like how everyone was compartmentalizing themselves into a little niche and not, you know, like expanding themselves out. I mean, it's like, so, I mean, did you find that as well?
Yeah, and at that age, it's really predominant to see a lot of labels being thrown around on people, or, you know, even just social cliques on a class-to-class basis. You know, it wasn't just like there was one group of friends you had. You know, six classes, you could have six different groups of people that you'd associate with, but normally it would all be, you know, amongst the same group of friends.
Yeah. So normally in order to avoid some of this heartache and stuff is to actually get to know who you are. And I know that's kind of hard to do, for a lot of people, but there is a way for people to be able to do that. And that's one thing that we're going to be talking about, is actually respecting yourself. And what does that mean, and where to go with it? One of the healthy ways to respect yourself is, of course, boundaries. Now, some people think that boundaries are bad, that you have to let everybody in and wear you out, wear you down, physically, emotionally. And so how do you feel that boundaries help people out?
It helps more on a personal level. It's always best to, you know, it may sound selfish, but it's also good to look at your own self-interest at the end of the day. You know, I just actually had to deal with something recently in regards to that. And, you know, sometimes people do just need to get those borders set up, and you can just tell them, look, you know, I can't dedicate as much time as I have been, just because I need to look out for where my own best interests are.
Definitely. And the thing is that it's actually not a bad thing to have boundaries. Some people think that it is, but actually it's not. Because one, you need to be able to know what your own limits are, and then what the limits are of the other people, you know, like if you want them in or not. Because there are some people who are very emotional and who, you know, like suck every positive aspect of you out if you don't put boundaries up. Because those are, you know, there are some types out there that are in situations like privately in homes or whatever, who are needing extra support. And it's fine to do that, but you also have to set boundaries with those people as well, or else they will just run right over you emotionally. And how I say that is they will be texting and calling you way past hours and complaining about stuff and not doing any changing for themselves. And you got to let them know, look, if you're not going to start changing, you know, then I'm just going to have to end the friendship. And unfortunately, sometimes that has to happen, because here again, you have to stay true to yourself and to where you're going and what you're doing.
Yeah, or they, you know, try and sponge you into their life problems as well. And, you know, that's, a friendship should be a two-way path. And, you know, you should be there to support each other, but you should also be there to help each other gain successes as well. So, you know, if you notice that you have people that are bringing you down more than they're bringing you up, or even, you know, contributing in any kind of way to your life or lifestyle, then that's definitely a red flag.
Yes. So, and I, you know, with one of these red flags, maybe I should go ahead and, like, embarrass myself here. I'm from high school. I doubt any of them are listening. So, is there was this... one boy who I had like a mad crush on, and I mean, would do anything to try and, you know, I mean, just to get him to notice me. And, but the things that I was doing were things that my parents, you know, like they want me to do. So, you know, I mean, so here I am totally going against what I was brought up with, and, you know, I'm like, I'm trying to, you know, like change who I am. I'm trying to, you know, like started swearing, all this stuff. You know, think that was going to help out, because that's what this guy did. You know, started swearing and all this other stuff. And then, hey, all right, you know, getting in on a cool crowd, you know? and then the bomb hit. What happened was, is I ended up bringing one of my friends from class, and I just kind of introduced him. We're all sitting at lunch. Next thing I know, he's dating my friend.
Mine kind of backfired.
Plan really backfired. And then what I noticed is that I was nagging. I didn't have my boundaries. I was doing whatever he wanted me to do. I was actually spending money I did not have to get him things, just to get this person to recognize me. I mean, it was bad. I mean, I was taking money from my, you know, like from my mom's wallet, from my dad's chest of drawers, just to get this guy's stuff, you know, for him to like me. And man, I totally lost myself in that. So one thing is that this guy honestly didn't want me there. I think the signs were actually there, because he was actually kind of standoffish anytime I was around. Anytime there was a break, I actually went to hunt him down. You know, like, not even realizing the guys needed their space. And because I would, you know, basically do almost anything, even though I didn't have money, to get him stuff just to get him to notice me, I was actually taken advantage of because of that. So he basically saw someone who's very susceptible, very eager to please, and so he took total advantage of that. And then when he, of course, you know, like, then he decided to get in with someone else, you know, because I guess she knew how to handle it, and I didn't. Actually, I think it was because, anyway, not, but, that was one thing. Anyway, I think she conformed a little bit more to his ideals than I did. So, so she probably wasn't as, like, coming off as needy as I was. And as I look back on that, I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, what a mistake to make for something like that. I mean, you know, so I mean, it's like one of the things, a huge mistake, I didn't have my boundaries in. The other thing is that I didn't say no, I didn't have any money for stuff that this guy was asking for. And I mean, too, I was just this little people pleaser, just going around and, you know, trying to do stuff, realizing that it was actually damaging myself emotionally. And so those are some things that, I mean, I'm like, I wish I would have known. You know, like, and that's one of the things is I did not respect myself and I did not respect people. I didn't see the signs, and the signs are totally there that he wasn't interested. You know, I kept wondering why he'd go the other way when I was trying to hunt him down. So, you know, it's like stuff like that happens. So, I mean, so what do you think guys actually look for in a girl that they're going to be dating, stuff like that? Do you think respect plays a big part, and respecting themselves plays a big part in that?
I think that's a two-part question in terms of, you know, where they're at mentally and mature-wise. Also, it could have a lot also to do with, you know, what they've been raised to look for in a woman. If they even have been taught any of those skills. So, you know, I would assume, you know, most people would want someone who has a self-respect and is able to establish boundaries, because that just, that says a lot. You know, a woman's role back in the 50s may have been to stay at home and cook and clean, but nowadays it's, I don't know, to me it's more attractive to find someone who has ambitions and has their own goals and wants to do something.
Awesome. So, and someone who isn't like tripping over themselves, like trying to hunt you down. And this is, you're part of the text generation, texting you at midnight and wondering what you're doing. And
yeah, definitely not.
So do you think it's smothering if a girl is, you know, like he's calling you, well, who are you with? Where are you at? Well, how come you didn't invite me? So do you think those are kind of some turnoffs too?
That is probably the main reason to stay out of a relationship, is just the fact that you're so tied down to it. You know, it's you work so long and go so far in life to be independent and stray away from supervision and anything like that. And then, you know, it's funny, I see a lot of my friends, you know, now that we're in our, you know, mid to late 20s, that have got themselves back in those types of situations. They literally left their parents' house to go back into another group where they're being supervised, but this time by a significant other.
So, and then do you think that some of those relationships are healthy?
They can be. It depends on, you know, how they choose to work those out and whether or not, again, they set boundaries or not. You know, it's again, a two-way street, and if the boundaries aren't set, then, you know, sometimes those boundaries can be overstepped. But if they are, then at least they know where the line's drawn.
Yeah. And then when we come back after a break, I am going to be talking about, like, for the girls, how to look for a good guy. You know, I mean, and with what they say, like, how they talk to their mom and what they do in public. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
Hello and welcome to Here's to Your Health with Dr. Burns. I am Dr. Burns, and I have with me from Kitty Corner, I have Elsa. And Elsa wants to talk a little bit about exercise. So Elsa, is exercise supposed to be fun?
Yeah.
Okay, what type of exercise do you do?
I just do ballet, but somehow I don't. But somehow I'm alone like 2 days because Kelly isn't at my
Okay, so do you like to dance?
Yeah.
Is dance a good exercise?
Yeah, but I usually dance with the 12 dancing princesses.
Okay, so yes, you can dance to music or to videos. They got videos out so that you can dance to. What other types of exercise are there for kids that are fun? How about, like, is bike riding fun? No, come here. Recording right now. Is bike riding fun?
Yeah.
So running. What about, yeah, running's fun too. What about swimming?
Yeah.
Okay, and what about jumping? Is that fun too? Yeah. Yes? So are those all the things that we can do to stay healthy and to exercise?
Yes.
Okay, are we supposed to exercise every day?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much, Elsa, for joining us on our show.
All right, and we're back from break, so thanks for tuning in. What we're going to be talking about right now is the difference on how to look for a good guy and a bad guy, and I'm going to have Robert talk about how to look for the difference between, like, you know, a respectable girl and one who isn't respectable, you know, because you want a respectable one. So the thing is that for a girl, if you really notice, and this is true, at first I thought that it was totally false, that it didn't work, but this is absolutely true. However the man or, you know, guy, you know, deals with his mom, that is how he's going to be with you. If he is rude, condescending, you know, very impatient with his mom, that is how he is going to be with you. If he is also condescending and rude to people in public, I'm talking about, like, at the bank, at the grocery store, you know, stuff like that. I mean, then here again, he's going to be rude to you. And the thing is that it's not you that is causing this, nor can you change them. A lot of women end up getting in these pitfalls and thinking, oh, well, yeah, he's rude now, but I can just go ahead and change it with my love. I'm sorry, that doesn't work. This guy's been pre-wired since the day he was born. I mean, if he grew up saying that it's okay to disrespect his mom and disrespect other people, what it means is that he's disrespecting himself. He has no boundaries himself. He thinks himself the same way that he thinks of other people, which is not very good. And a lot of those situations where at times a lot of abuse ends up coming in, whether it's physical or emotional. And then a lot of these people also become very controlling as well. Here again, it's because they don't think very highly of themselves. These are the type of, you know, like, guys that you want to stay away from. Then there are the types that, I mean, absolutely will, you know, I mean, of course, you have disagreements with their mom, but on the whole, act very respectful and very human towards their mom and towards other people. You know, I mean, they're a little, you know, they're better, they're polite. You know, I mean, they're a lot more patient. These are the types of guys that aren't going to give you the heartache that, you know, that what happens with these other guys. The whole looking for the bad boy necessarily isn't a good thing. So what about for, what should guys be watching out for as far as girls go?
In the realm of girls, a lot would do with education. I feel like, you know, some girls are looking for a meal ticket and other ones are willing to work for it. Also, another thing is, like, dress, the way they dress, the way they present themselves. That says a lot about, you know, their, not necessarily, how they may be on a day-to-day basis, but, you know, how they really feel about themselves. You know, do they need to expose a lot of skin to really feel pretty or beautiful? And, you know, that can tell you a lot of, and kind of forecast how they may be in a relationship.
Yeah, so, I mean, and the thing is that when, in my experience, when a girl or woman has respect for themselves, they won't be showing a lot of skin, you know, because they're comfortable with who they are and with their opinions. It's the ones that aren't very comfortable with themselves that usually have to show a lot of skin or, you know, I mean, just to, quote, get attention. But a type of attention that they're wanting to get is not necessarily the good attention that they're thinking that they're going to get when they start showing a lot of skin. I mean, that's when you get, you know, like the guys in it that are very, very questionable with something like that. So, I mean, and then it's like, I mean, would you say that a guy acts differently around a girl who respects herself than one who doesn't?
Yeah, and I guess it would just depend on the social situation that you may be in. And just from personal observation, you know, I do frequent bars out on the weekends, and it's funny, I go out with a large group of people, and, you know, we all kind of have a game plan of what we plan on doing that night. And, you know, the girls that are out and they, you know, they want to meet a guy that night, you know, they put on the short little club dresses and high heels. And, but you know what, they may get a guy, but you know, the guy is usually not around for more than a night or two.
Oh, I've never been in a bar. And that's because my dad drilled it in me. He said, don't go. He says, people that are drunk are no good.
And you know, there may be the one-off where you do find someone who is committable in a bar situation, but I can tell you just, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're not meeting Prince Charming at the bar, especially if you're staying there till about 2 a.m.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, it's like, I went to a dance club, I guess, with a friend of mine. She was saying it was Girls Night Out. And, boy, I'm telling you, there's just, I was looking around. I was even shocked at some of the women that were there. Well, I mean, it's like, some of the guys, I mean, it's just like, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah, I say hi, and they're just like, oh, you know, I mean, it's like, all of a sudden, it was just like, oh, she wants me. And I'm like, all I did was say hi.
Well, then there's the other side of the token too, and to me it's always kind of just funny to see what they're going for. You know, you see a girl at the bar and they've got the big hair and lots of makeup and the scandalous dressing going on, and you kind of wonder, like, is it even worth having a conversation with her, or what, you know, what's she doing out tonight? So it can be intimidating, but it also can, you know, be the red flag for the wrong guy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's like, basically, if a person is turned away from you in a public situation, they basically don't want to deal with you. If someone's feet are actually turned away from you while they're talking with you and they have the eye-to-eye contact, you got to look at that as well, because that basically means they want out of there. I mean, you know, so seriously, so you got to look at, when it comes to groups and who to go in with, if the feet are open in that group, that means that they're inviting other people in. If their feet are all, like, looking at each other, I know that's kind of hard to say. I realize the feet don't have eyes. But anyway, if they're, like, facing inward to the group, that means that that group isn't welcoming anybody in. And that's, like, a huge body language sign on who to look for, on who's open in accepting new people and who isn't. And the ones that are closed, I have no idea why. In high school, I always wanted to get in with those groups that were closed, and I kept wondering if it were me. And I come home and I cry, and I mean, it's like, my mom didn't understand, but, you know, so I always go to my dad, and it's just like, why won't they accept me? You know, to find out what it was, is that it wasn't about me. It was about that they weren't accepting anybody, and that was just the type of group that they were. So instead of banging your head against the wall, wondering what's going on with you, they're just not worth your time getting in with those people. So even in social situations, even if it's like at the movie theater, at the, you know, like church groups, whatever it may be, you know, I mean, it's like you also have to look at body language and see what's going on there, if someone's accepting or not. What are some cues that you've looked into?
You know, trying to distinguish what people's motives are sometimes. You know, I have a handful of friends that, you know, tell me, oh, well, so-and-so's a real great person, and I really like hanging out with them. And, you know what, they may have their own relationship built from years of previous experience, but going into a situation, you can't really take people's opinions. And, you know, I had to learn that the hard way a couple of times with a bunch of users and abusers. And I would probably say just looking more for someone who's just looking to benefit themselves. They have, you know, they're really not bringing too much to the table on the other end for you. Or people who don't really have time for you until they see you in public. You know, they're just friends to your face, and that's not a good sign either.
No, that's true. So the thing is that for people who want to be able to step up and get to know themselves, a lot of times they end up making a goal, and then they fail on that goal. And the reason why that goal always seems to fail is because they're not looking deeper. They're not looking underneath of why, going to the why they don't respect themselves or why they're resistant to not having that change. And they keep going through the same pattern over and over again. There was a research that was done. They set some people out in the desert and they were saying, all right, well, we want you to get from this place to this place. All right, let's see how you do. And so what happened was that they noticed that if people don't have a reference line, like saying following the sun east, that the people were going in circles and ending up back at the starting point where they started from before if they don't have a direction. So one of the first things that they have to do in order for a habit to change is they have to have a direction. And the thing is learning like what your triggers are as far as stress, anxiety, depression. Why did you want to get in with these groups and why you don't want to get in with them? And so I think that's like one of the big things. The other thing too is actually knowing what makes you happy. What are some places, things, ideas, you know, that make you happy, and using those tools to be able to offset the triggers of the bad habits that were there in order for, you know, like that habit to change. I've seen so many people in January, I'm going to the gym, I'm going to make it, I'm going to lose the weight. 3 weeks later, they're like, oh, forget this. The reason why is because they haven't changed what's underneath. They haven't changed themselves on the inside, how they look at food, how they look at themselves in order for that outer goal that they want to change. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, you do have to set those goals. Whether they be incremental goals or long-term ones, it's, you know, paving the path to get there is what's most important, because you'll lose sight of it after a while. You know, just like you said with the New Year's resolution, you know, 9 people out of 10 are probably going to fail on them because they're just unrealistic goals that they haven't really set any kind of standards for.
Yeah. And then also remember, too, for those people who don't want to change themselves, if you're in a social situation, are usually probably some of the more toxic people. Like I said, you cannot change people. People can only change themselves. Unfortunately, it takes almost a near-death experience before we realize it. Whether it doesn't have to be an actual physical near-death experience. It can be an emotional near-death experience as well before people will actually start to change. As John, by the way, once said, wise people learn from themselves. Wiser people learn from others. Unfortunately, I think we all fall in the category of being wise people and not wiser people when it comes to something like that. What do you feel about that?
Well, I can say, you know, just from my family experiences, I might have been the wiser person just being the younger sibling. You know, I made sure to never make the same mistakes my sister did. I was always the good child, and she was always the one that was causing the ruckus.
Well, I think like with anyone at any age, you know, I mean, there's like wise choices that we make, like whether it's in business, personal, school, stuff like that. But then, you know, there's also the wiser choices that we can also make in those same fields as well. So it doesn't necessarily have to be from high school, but unfortunately we carry those high school experiences with us into the business world with people who we associate with and how we communicate with people and stuff like that. So it's kind of better, you know, I mean, to actually have your own board of directors. This isn't just for businesses. This is, I think, personally as well, that people should have their own board of directors. You can have like a pastor on there, a bishop, whomever you feel like can help with the spiritual side. Then you need to get together and maybe get like a couple of your friends that are better at like, you know, speaking, or, you know, I mean, it's like, oh, I have a friend who's just like, the master of being out in public and talking with people. And I cannot do that. I am like the wallflower. Every time I go with her, she's out talking with people all the time, you know, like handing out business cards. And I'm just like, yeah, I can't do that. You know, I mean, so you want to get these people together, whether it's like even like in business, marketing, banking, you know, I mean, it's like whatever it may be. Get those people in. It will save you so much heartache because these are people that you can actually bounce ideas off of and what you're doing. And because you are the one who picked them, you will actually respect their opinion and not go, no, I'm not. No, I didn't do that. No, that's not my fault. Yeah, because as we do for the people that we do not respect, we automatically become defensive, even if they're right on a certain situation with how we're acting. So that's why it's better to choose your own board. Is that you don't need money, you don't pay these people. These are just people who you admire and respect and want them to be on your board. It could even be a teacher that you expect and admire in a certain situation in order for that to happen.
I couldn't agree more. I have a handful of people that I just reach out to whenever I have those crossroads in life. And, just moving, I'm planning kind of a business venture, and I wanted to get some opinions. And, you know, I have someone who I consider a business partner. I have one of my friends that I've, known probably for 10, 15 years already, and I, got his opinion on stuff. My mom's also a great resource. You know, she's a great businesswoman, and I respect her opinion, so I always go to her when I have questions. And, I have a friend who, 1,500 miles away living in Portland, and we talk, on a weekly basis for a couple hours on the phone every week, and it's just nice to get people's input, regardless of, where they're at or what their situation is, and just kind of get another perspective on it, because, those people are going to be 100% for you. They have no ties or commitments. They're not financially bound. They don't have any kind of objective goals on it. They just want to help you wholeheartedly. And, that's what I kind of would say would be the motives of a good friend.
So would you say that it's smart to start early, that you can't start too early with your own board of directors?
No, definitely not. And, you don't have to limit yourself to any specific number either. You find someone who's a great resource and who is, just ultimately there for the greater good of themselves and others. And, you build a relationship off of that. It's taken me a long way. And it's made me a much more positive person, and it's kind of opened my eyes to the reality of a lot of things that have been going on in my life.
Now, the thing is that when you come with this board, it doesn't mean that you can use and abuse them. Because they also have their own lives as well. Here again, you still have to be working on yourself in order for your board to help you, or else they will leave if you are not actually implementing what they feel that you need to do for yourself. So, it's like even your board has its limits as well, and they're going to have their boundaries. That's why you pick them, because they've got good boundaries. These are people that you want to model yourself after, because they have your best interests at heart, and they also have theirs as well. So as we are about ready to close here, is there any final things you'd like to say?
No, keep your eyes open and find the ones that are, there to help you out and help others out. And, it becomes pretty apparent after you, pay attention to the situation. You don't want to, again, look for your own self-interest. Just see how they treat people and the others around them and you as a person.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that you want to look for is how do you treat yourself? Because how you treat others is how you treat yourself. And if there's some stuff that you need to change and you're just like, man, I'm just, I'm rude to people. Why am I being rude to myself? That is like a huge key that there are some things you need to start changing. So I think we all need to start waking up and being a little bit more observant about like what we do and to see like what type of crowds we hang with to know, if they're good or if they're bad for us. So, all right. Well, thank you for tuning in and we'll talk to you later.
This is Dr. Burns, and welcome to Here's to Your Health. We have a special guest today. Her name's Elsa, and from Kitty Corner. So, Elsa, what are some things that you've learned about between eating good food and bad food? What should you be eating?
Bananas. Oranges.
Okay, what else?
Peaches.
Okay, so now are we supposed to be eating good food or bad food?
Good food.
What happens if you eat bad food?
Then we get sick and want to hurt a little bit.
Okay, so then if we want to have energy, if kids want to have energy and be able to play, then what are we supposed to do?
Good food.
Okay, all right, thank you. So, and that is from Kitty Corner with Elsa.